Hey everybody, this is Van, and John and I are taking the 4th of July off in terms of a live show, but here we present, from I think about 2.5 years ago, a really special episode that we did where we pitted the 2004 versus 2010 Auburn Tigers football teams. Jason Campbell versus Cam Newton, and that great 2004 defense versus the 2010 quick strike, instant first down offense. There's a lot of fun to be had here. I hope you enjoy it. I'm surprised we haven't done another similar show like this since then, but we hope you enjoy this one, and stay tuned next week, because on our next episode, we'll have a special announcement about Auburn basketball from Barkley to Bruce, the new basketball book. All right, so enjoy the show, and War Eagle. John and Van have been into the barbecue, so there's a football game winner to be picked tonight. It's the 2004 versus 2010 Auburn Tigers. Next!
White Rocket Entertainment.
Podcast number 460.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and by all of our great supporters, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
You and I are gathered here tonight to determine the winner of an absolutely epic throwdown between two of Auburn's most accomplished teams ever. The 2004 Auburn Tigers, led by Jason Campbell and Cadillac and Ronnie, and the 2010 Auburn Tigers, led by Cam Newton and Nick Fairley. And one kind of good thing about this, you know, whenever you do comparisons and matchups of teams over the years, sometimes there's been so much distance between them that it's hard to get a really good read. Like, if this was 1983 Auburn, I'm not really sure how that wishbone running attack would fare. I'm sure it would be good, but it's, you know, it's a slightly different era.
Era is very tough to compare.
If we went back to 1957, I mean, that would be almost impossible. They couldn't cover the passing game that you have today. There's no way, you know. But on the other hand, these are two teams that are only separated by 6 years. And so I think we can get a very, very interesting, we're going to basically do the play-by-play, the color analysis, break the game down. We'll kind of make it up as we go along in terms of how we're going to play it out, but we've already broken the game down up to a certain point. John and I do not yet know who wins the game, by the way. We've broken down a good portion of the game, but we don't know the absolute final score. So you will find that out about the time that John and I figure it out. So I think this is going to be really fun. So before we kick off this epic 2004 versus 2010 Auburn on Auburn action, is there any other news or anything going on that you want to talk about tonight?
No.
Okay.
The other idea that we've come up with that we're going to do in future episodes is to pick a real Auburn game. This is a fun, creative one that Van came up with, but to pick a real Auburn game from the past, from the recent past, and kind of do a deep dive on it, on just one game, one episode, and a game like before we started the podcast. So
yeah.
Pre-2012-ish. Our first game that we've decided to do is the West Virginia Rain game.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm almost more excited about that one than about the one we're talking about tonight.
So the idea is we're going to talk, you know, we're going to both watch the full game separately.
Yep.
We're going to talk about kind of what the game meant, the build up to it, and then what happened at the game and kind of the breakdown of the game, and then wrap it up. So if you have suggestions for other games and Auburn history you want us to do this with, please send it to us and let us know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That one seems like it's fun. I can think of several others. You've suggested some really good ones. So we have enough fodder there for several episodes if we want to go that way, and that would be cool. Just a couple of things of note. I saw that Gus did a press conference a couple of days ago, and basically right now they're trying to coach through Zoom. So, okay, I guess that's better than nothing, but it really shows you where we really are right now, that they're having to coach through Zoom. And today is the 1 year anniversary of the Final Four game, which is bittersweet, right? I mean, it's sweet in the fact that we made it to the Final Four and should have won that game, but it's bitter in how we were cheated and robbed of it. But it was a year ago, and so we've been passing all these anniversaries from the basketball team, and now we're to the – it really shows you how much, since all this stuff began, how much time has gone by that we've gone from being the second day – you know, this all started at the end of the first day of the SEC championship game in terms of the stuff getting canceled, and now we're to the national championship day. So it, in a way, it seems like it's been that long. In a way, it seems longer. In a way, it doesn't seem like it's possible that that much time has passed, you know?
It's amazing. It's been a year. Yeah. It's hard to believe.
All right. Well, let's get into 2004 versus 2010. I've annotated that 2004 is blue and 2010 is white, like in A-Day. I guess we can kind of say 2004, 2010 to be clear when we need to, or we can just go blue and white. Again, 2004 is blue, 2010 is white. I was just afraid that throwing out a bunch of yardage numbers and score numbers and time numbers, saying 2004 and 2010 might just get even more confusing, but we can we'll see how it goes, I guess. So I guess I'm going to, in the game summary that we have, I've left off like all the details. I didn't go like every second of the game, but I'm just going to like break down the play-by-play and you do the color commentary as if we are watching it. Are we cool?
I'm ready.
All right. So there's the opening kickoff. I guess, let me see who gets the ball first. So
2010 gets the ball first.
Yeah, yeah. There's maybe some stuff that's not covered in the outline, but we're just going to go with the drives that are actually of note. Okay, let's just don't even fool with the 3 yards and punt. You know, three plays and punt. We'll just go. All right. So White has the ball, and I'm trying to imagine how this plays out. So we know in this drive that Cam probably runs the ball a couple of times himself for several yards. He does a sweep to McCaleb, gets some yards. But understand now this the blue defense with those linebackers is tough. So Newton is he's running the offense down the field, making some nice little short passes. I'm not sure Dyer's in the game yet. He tended to come in a little bit later or kind of intermittently. And so Cam leads the White offense all the way down to the 2004, about 35-yard line. And then Cam drops back. He is pressured by that 2004 defensive front, and he throws a pass that bounces off Terrell Zachary's hands and is intercepted by Carlos Rogers, who is brought down at the blue 28-yard line, John.
It was a big play early in the game. I mean, obviously a lot of pressure on Cam Newton in that play, and his receivers kind of let him down a little bit, and Rogers, you know, grabbed the ball, kind of pulled it away from the intended receiver, and you know, a big early turning point in the game with the 2010 team giving up the ball to the 2004 team.
And it makes you wonder how well, I mean, the White team moved the ball pretty methodically there early. You can think back to games in the 2010 season when Cam would come out and on those opening drives, and I want to kind of talk about this for a second, okay, to set the stage for how this is kind of shaping up this matchup and get your input on it. The 2010 team tended to do really well at the beginning and really well at the end. They'd usually have a lull maybe in the second or third quarter, but Cam mm-hmm. would come out and just dominate that first and second drive, and then he'd usually be able to pull something out of his hat in the third, you know, in the fourth quarter. So here comes White rolling down the field, but they're going up against a really good defense here, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, the 2004 defense may be the best defense the 2010 team played all year.
It may be.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's the Alabama defense that held them in check. They scored so many points. The 2010 team scored so many points. Mississippi State held them to 17 early, but that was before they really knew what they were. You know, it was that South Carolina game where they really kind of came into their own as the offense that they would become.
Yeah, LSU held the 24. That's probably the best defense. That's the equivalent defense, I'm going to say, of 2004.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Okay, so Blue comes out on the field. Jason Campbell, Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown, all those great receivers. And you know, the one thing that that 2004 offense could do is they had their running game, right? They'd force you to bring your safeties up to cover Cadillac and Ronnie. And Jason could run the ball too, you know. He wasn't Damian Craig or Cam Newton, but he was his own whatever he was. You know, he kind of could lope. he's a more of a lanky quarterback, but he could truck the ball himself if he needed to. And so Campbell comes out. He's handing off a couple of plays that draw those safeties up, and then he drops back, and you can just see Al Borges dialing this up, right? Uncorks a 56-yard bomb to Devin Aromashadu, who streaks past. And what do we know about the 2010 secondary, especially in the first quarter?
They gave up some big plays.
They did. Remember the Georgia game? I mean, Georgia's main receiver had like three touchdowns in the first quarter against us. It's a miracle we won that game, because, man, that Georgia had that really good receiver in 2010.
AJ Green in 2010.
Oh, yes. Man, we couldn't contain him. We couldn't hope to contain him.
Nope.
So when Aromashadu just did an AJ Green on us, 56 yards, pass complete from Jason Campbell, 6-0, and I'll go ahead and tack on. John Vaughn kicks the extra point good. The Blue draw covered 72 yards in 5 plays. With a 56-yard pass from Jason Campbell to Devin Aromashadu. Score is Auburn Blue 7, Auburn White nothing. All right, so 7-0 Blue. This seemed like about what you expected so far?
Yes, I mean, the 2010 defense worried me as a matchup against 2004 offense. And the other way, too, I think the 2004 defense is very solid, and it's going to be a different challenge for the 2010 offense.
It's going to take Cam doing some really special things out there to keep, I think, White in the game the way it's looking so far. But I think that 2010 needs to get some points on the board immediately and not make any more mistakes, because they do not want to get too far behind this 2004 team or it's over. So White takes the kickoff, and Cam keeps on a couple of plays. He converts a third and short. That's what he does. He hits his tight end. He hits Lechenkirchen, I think, for a short pass. And they get all the way up to their 46-yard line. And then Cam does the thing, John, that we said they should never, never, never do. Who do they hand the ball to? Who did you see on the field just now?
Mario Fannin.
Oh, don't give the – I love Mario Fannin. He was a great player for us in his places. But – when the game is on the line, you do not hand the ball to him and send him into traffic, because by the time he was a senior, his shoulder had gotten banged up so bad he couldn't hang on to the ball. And on the White 2010 46-yard line, fumble! Mario Fannin coughs it up. Oh, no. And Jason Campbell's going to come out and set up shop at the 2010 46-yard line, John. My eyes were a little blurry when I'm looking out of the press box here on that one. Yes, that was absolutely T. Will coming up and stripping that ball out from Fannin. Hit him a good shot to the shoulder. Fannin coughed it up, and T. Will was all over it. So now the Blue team comes out on the field, and they're on the White 46. I'm watching them now, and the 2004 offense is clicking. Short passes, play action, give to Ronnie Brown over right end. Oh, up the middle with Carnell for good 5 or 6 yards to convert the first down there. And then a short pass. And then he's looking for Aromashadu again, but it's incomplete. But they keep driving and driving, and they get down to the 4-yard line. And Nick Fairley is looking like, you are not getting in my end zone. Fairley's waving to the crowd, which is a 50-50 split here inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. He's waving to the crowd. But Jason Campbell, calling out the play, takes a snap, hands it to Carnell Williams, who dodges to the right, heads for the pylon. He's in! He's in! He's in! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Cadillac, from 4 yards away! And it's 13-0! 13-0, Blue! Holy cow!
I like the enthusiasm in it.
What did you make of that drive, the scoring drive? It was a short drive.
I mean, but we've seen the 2004 team come out like this before, as they did in the Georgia game, mixing it up, run and pass, left, right, Carnell, Ronnie, the receivers, making plays and keeping the other team off balance. And then when they need a big play, turning it to Carnell and he making things happen.
He loved to take that ball and dive off to his right and just outrun everybody to the pylon. You know, he wasn't a power guy up the – he could be. He could be a power guy up the middle when he wanted to be and needed to be. But if you put him down inside the five-yard line, you hand him the ball, he was just as likely to just sprint for that pylon off in the corner. And it was a rare defender that could, A, beat him there, and, B, stop him when he got there.
That's right.
Yeah. So the extra point by John Vaughn, another extra point is good. The blue drive covered 46 yards in 7 plays. Carnell Williams on a 4-yard run. Blue team 14, white nothing. Now, this is exactly the scenario we were afraid of, because the 2010 team has now turned the ball over twice. They've thrown an interception and they've fumbled. The blue team had a lot to do with that, right? I mean, it's not like they're just making dumb mistakes. The blue team creates turnovers with that defense. And now you're in a situation where Cam's team is down 14-0 in the first quarter. They got to get something going or they're going to be in trouble. So we get on into, there's like a minute and it's about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. And Cam comes out. He's calling the play. They're in his own, down on his own 25. Cam calls a play, short pass to Darvin Adams. And up to around the 35, something like that. Cam just got sacked. Cam didn't get sacked often, but that blue defense was able to do it. They had all of his receivers covered, and that pass rush. Who did the 2004 team have on that defensive line? Help me remember. It wasn't the strength of the team, but it was not a weakness either. I'm trying to think who their best. I should know this. Wayne Dickens, Tez Doolittle, Brett Eddins, Quentin Groves,
yeah.
Tyrone Green, Marquise Gunn. Yeah, I mean, these are guys that were not like the greatest of all time, but they were really – Stanley McClover, how could we forget him? I mean, these were guys that were like among – you know, just absolutely solid, right? You just awesome.
Jay Ratliff is a guy I've talked about before, was a starter on that defensive tackle, ended up playing the NFL one time, a very solid player.
Started out as a tight end, didn't he, and switched over to defense. Yeah. Interesting. All right, so Cam has been sacked, but now he takes the snap and hands the ball on the sweep to Ontario McCaleb. McCaleb breaks the tackle. Oh, man, McCaleb is streaking down the sideline. He's knocked out of bounds at the 20-yard line. There was a guy had an angle on him, or else it was taillights to the end zone, but there was a free safety playing way back who had just the right angle and was able to get a shoestring on McCaleb and knock him out of bounds at the 20-yard line. And 3 plays later, Byram, the 2010 defense bows up. They know that if they give up another touchdown here, the game is basically over, and they bow up. Nick Fairley is able to come up the middle and stop Michael Dyer on a 3rd and short, and out comes Wes Byram, and a 37-yard field goal is good. It's good, and the blue team is now leading 14-3. 2004 Auburn 14, white. 2010 Auburn 3 as we end the first quarter. John, your thoughts on the first quarter so far? That was quite a run by McCaleb. He almost scored.
It did. I thought he'd get away. And that was a must-have play for the 2010 team. They were kind of dug themselves a hole with those turnovers, and they desperately needed that big play by McCaleb to get a little confidence going.
They really did, and they got it. But, man, that was absolutely must-have. So, all right, the second quarter begins. And the blue team now gets the ball, and they go on one of those Tuberville patented long marches. They drive. There's Cadillac. There's Ronnie, the fullback, Jason Campbell keeping. It's just a grind it out, 3 yards in a cloud of dust up against Nick Fairley and that defense and Josh Bynes. And they grind it out and grind it out. They're going to stall at about the 30, no, at the 25. Yeah, it looks like I got my binoculars out. They've stalled. It's 4th and 4 at the 25-yard line of the white team, and John Vaughn is coming out, and it is good. And so 8:29 remaining in the second quarter. That was a time-consuming drive that the Tuberville's team just put together. They covered 52 yards in 9 plays. The key play was a Carnell Williams 12-yard run off of left tackle. It stalled out at the 25 when Nick Fairley sacked Jason Campbell on third down. And Vaughn kicked the field goal good. It is 17-3, 2004 team.
And Nick Fairley doing his typical routine of kind of saving the team. If they had gotten a touchdown there, the game might have been over, but he made the big play to keep them to a field goal. But also, 2004 team doing what they do, giving the defense a big rest, controlling the ball with that offensive line and that running game.
That's right. So the white team comes out, gets the kickoff, and they are not able to do anything. Cam is hemmed in. I think Gus has not yet figured out how to sort of account for what the blue team's defensive front is doing. Cam has not really run for many yards so far. We're already halfway through the second quarter now into halftime, and Cam has very few. In fact, right now, I'm just looking at the statistics. Right now, Cam has fewer than 60 yards, really, which for him is not a good half, on just a few carries, and it's not looking really good. And they stall out. And they've got a punt. That was an amazing Carlos Rogers job defending Terrell Zachary. They tried a deep ball. Gus dialed up that play where Cam comes out, fakes the kind of end around, ducks his head down, and then pops up and throws it deep. But just as it looked like T-Zach was going to catch that bomb, Carlos Rogers just came in and slapped it away out of nowhere. It was like he just teleported in, or the old helicopter play, you know. Dropped out of helicopter. So it looks like the white team's got to punt it back to blue again, trailing 17-3. Now blue takes the ball, and they get a little bit of return yardage, not a whole lot. And now they're going to do another one of these grinded out Tuberville patented drives, and they're going to stall out at the 11-yard line. Man, they're on the 11-yard line of white. They give the it's third and five for the blue team. At the 11-yard line, third and five, and Campbell gives to Ronnie Brown, who goes over right tackle, and Nick Fairley knifes in and takes his legs out from under him, along with Corey Lemonnier, and Brown is stopped dead. You don't see that very often, and out comes John Vaughn, and he's going to line up and put a 28-yarder through the uprights for a score of 20-3. With 4 minutes and 12 seconds. In fact, I will do the play. They'll do the announcer. The blue drive covered 61 yards in 8 plays and consumed 3 minutes and 17 seconds. Your score is blue 20, white 3, 4:12 to go in the first half. Your thoughts?
The 2010 team has to feel a lot like the Alabama game. They've dug themselves a big hole. Nick Fairley and the defense is kind of hanging on by their fingernails, keeping them in the game.
They are keeping them in the game. Barely.
Touchdowns. Yeah. But the offense has got to get it going.
They got to. Yeah. The thing, like you say, the thing that really jumps out at me is that the 2010 defense is giving up a lot of yards and they're giving up a lot of clock, but it could be like 35-0 right now, you know. It could be 28 or 35-0 instead of 20-3. So there's still hope. But white team's got to get something going here. So, all right, so 4:12 to go. They kick off. Oh, man. And now the white team looks like they're taking this seriously. They do a little quick pass over an on-rushing Corey Lemonnier. Defensive end comes in. Cam throws the ball over his head to Ontario McCaleb, who's good for a good 11 yards down the field. They come up on third down. Inside, just across the 50-yard line, and on third and short, Cam takes the ball and turns right and goes for 17 yards before he's brought down. That converts that first down. The white team is now down to the they get all the way down to the 5-yard line. Yeah, they get all the way down to the 5-yard line, and the crowd is cheering for them. Go, go! It's fourth down, but it's fourth and five. And so the crowd is cheering, go, go, go. But it looks like Chizik, it's amazing that Chizik is both the defensive coordinator for one team and the coach for the other. Isn't that remarkable?
It's It's a sight to see.
It is. It's amazing how he's doing it. One of them's got the shacket, but I'm not saying which one. But he's decided to go for the play it safe and go for the field goal. Here comes Wesley Byram out there. His second field goal of the day is good. I've omitted any missed field goals because who wants to hear about that? And so as we go to halftime, this was 3 seconds to go when they kicked that. That was the other thing. It was third and goal. It was fourth and five. There was only 3 seconds to go, too. So Chizik wanted to take the guaranteed points, and he got them. So instead of being basically 17 down, the white team, 2010, is now 14 points down. So just two touchdowns, two scores down, and we go to halftime. So your thoughts on the second quarter, and then I'm going to break down the stats a little bit. We can talk about that.
A huge field goal right before the half by the 2010 team. As we said, they had to get themselves back in the game, and they did it. They're down two scores. But they know they can make plays and make things happen quickly. And so they've kind of put themselves in a position to be able to do that.
Yeah, that was very reminiscent. I hadn't thought about it until now, but that was very reminiscent of the big play that Cam completed in the Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that right before the half that just kind of said, you know, it was at that point 24-7 instead of 24-0. So it made a lot of difference. So they get a little momentum going at the half. All right, here's your halftime statistics, John, and let's talk about this a little bit. For the 2004 team, Jason Campbell right now is 9-for-16 for 115 yards. I don't think that's as good as we hoped that for him, for his sake, he would have, considering he's playing the defense, the secondary that he is. He got that one pass to Romeshodu early, but after that, I think the white team, the 2010 team, has really kind of buckled down and shored up things. They're not allowing over the top too much. Campbell has one touchdown and zero interceptions. What do you make of his performance so far?
He's been solid as we expected. I mean, taking what the defense gives him, he went for the one big play and tried to complete a couple more, but it didn't work. Trying to go for the jugular, but it didn't work. But he's been distributing the ball to the players he has, to his receivers, and making stuff happen. But he's also avoided the big mistake, which hurt the other team.
That's true. Yeah, they have not turned the ball over as far as I'm aware. I know he didn't have an interception. I don't think they've had a fumble so far, whereas the white team has two fumbles and or two turnovers, and it really does make a difference. Turnovers can kill you. 2 turnovers to nothing, the blue team is winning that statistic, and they're also winning on the scoreboard. Cadillac has 11 carries for 45 yards, so I would say that the white team is doing a pretty decent job of – that's about, 4 yards a carry, just over 4 yards a carry. If you hold Cadillac to 4 yards a carry, that's not horrible.
No, it's good defense.
Yeah. And then Ronnie's got 8 carries for 32, so it's about 4 yards, too. So both running backs are averaging about 4 yards a carry on the 2010 defense. That's mostly thanks to a couple of losses. They came up, fairly was able to come up the middle. Lemonnier got some pressure on them and that kind of thing. And then here's the receivers for the blue team. Devin Romeshodu has 3 catches for 75 yards. That's that long 56-yard touchdown that rang up his numbers. And then Courtney Taylor has 3 for 56, but I think it's pretty much like 15 to 20 yards per. So he's been, you know, very much a possession receiver that he is, more than a big play. And then Ben Obamanu, a quiet 2 catches for 38 yards.
But Courtney Taylor, a couple of big first downs that kept those blue drives alive when they were eating clock and moving up and down the field.
That's exactly right. So, all right, here's Cam's team, the 2010 team. Cam is 5 out of 9 for 86 yards with no touchdowns and one interception. But remember, this is much more of a running team even than the 2000, in a lot of ways, than the 2004 team was. So 5 out of 9 passes so far is not that surprising. They were trying to kind of grind it out a little bit on 2004, but it just wasn't working. They just were not able to get that methodical drive going that they wanted at all in that first half. They've got a lot of running going. Here's Ontario McCaleb in terms of yards with that long 60. McCaleb has 4 carries for 72, but again, that's 1 for 60 and 3 for 12, so it's feast or famine for McCaleb as usual. Cam himself has 9 carries for 37 yards. That's about 4 yards a carry as well. A lot of 4 yards per carry averages in this game, which I think is that's holding Cam down right there, 9 carries, 37 yards. And then Michael Dyer came in the second quarter and got 5 carries for 19. So the blue team is really doing a good job on Michael Dyer. That's impressive. And then finally, Mario Fannin got 2 carries, fumbled the second one. That was a 5 yards total and 1 fumble. I suspect we won't see much more of Mario other than in pass blocking situations the rest of the game.
Very fair. And again, McCaleb, the home run hitter, really the thing that kept him in the game.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So in terms of the receivers is our last statistic. In terms of receivers for the 2010 team, Darvin Adams had 2 catches for 21, just good possession receiving. Terrell Zachary, though, is the one that they've really kept clamped down. Carlos Rogers has been all over him in this game. T-Zach has 1 catch for 6 yards, John, and then Lutze has 2 catches for 11. I think one of them went for a first down. But, I mean, they've really kept the running backs on the 2010 team in check and Cam, and then the receivers have just really been held in check by that 2004 secondary.
The secondary was very solid. Matt Rose Green.
I didn't even call his name. Yeah, I didn't. I'm glad you mentioned him.
A lot of good players.
Yeah. All right, before the third quarter gets underway, we have to thank our patrons that make this show possible. Go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and click on the big orange button to become a patron and also to be able to order the new Auburn Basketball From Barkley to Bruce book is now on sale to our patrons but won't be available to the public for like 2 or 3 more months. So we have to thank our patrons. They include, of course, Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drucker, Dr. Crackham, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC. It's always hate week, says Logan Chilton. Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. A summer in Florida really sucks, like a week with no AU Wishbone, 76 Tiger. Ann Kangian, Ben Bloodworth, Chris Hilton, Assistant Manager.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
All right, I'm glad I got that one on the soundboard now. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B., No One Fights Like Gaston, Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, I'll Go Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Phil Davis.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow.
Woohoo. Rich Reimer, Robo Harson, Rusty Owen, Sarah Browns, Steve Harlan, Tank Hunter. Thank goodness for Win Carroll because...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
But we got Win Carroll. Theodore Geary, War Eagle Always, indeed. Warhammer 6, WDE Richie. WDE Richie says... Russia, number one. Iran, number one. Bama, number one. There you go. Nice. I like it. I've always said that's my favorite audio thing we've ever done, and I like somebody actually putting it onto the Patreon thing. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan. By the way, if you're wondering what is all this foolishness and shenanigans going on, it is if you become a patron, you can put whatever you want that will fit in the allotted space on the Patreon page, and that's what I will say when I get to your name in this thanks portion. We've had several people email us the last couple of weeks and say, I used to skip that part. Now it's like the best part of the show. This is a sad commentary, but there you go. Wilson Beard, Winston Body, and joining me always is my patron, Patrick Williams.
Please clap.
That's right. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, your bowl pick'em champion, Brent with his new friend Weagle, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Dibama, Helping Van Upgrade His Insulation, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Canoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Show Me a Good Loser and I'll Show You a Loser. Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Wiggle87. Ah, here's where Mark's always saying, insert your favorite soundboard audio. So this week, it's going to be...
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, this is important, honestly.
I just love that that Frank Sinatra and Andy Dickinson talk about Auburn beating Alabama by 12 points. AJ Herman says...
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Alex Wynn, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Bill Miner, Brian Albanese, C. Braun with the AU capital, which is awesome, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, plus, finally, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
I want early access to the basketball book. You're going to get it. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schenker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, J.T. Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains.
Someone knows. God knows.
A.K.A. Auburn Dad for life. Loving Auburn means you have to...
smoke weed every day.
That's right. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
That's one of the... Good job, Kathy. Paul Bankson, Richard Ryder, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Spanky, being at the bottom of this list is like the...
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
Sorry, Bells. Didn't mean to talk over you. Can't really argue that. Sports Illustrated's own Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, the USFL, where the intro and outro are longer than the update. That's right. And this name is brought to you by Bubba's Discount Tire and Tax Services, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. All right, so we're ready for the kickoff of the second half. We're going to see how this game comes out, man. This is exciting stuff, exciting stuff. So White will get the ball. And they've got to make something happen. And they get the ball on the 25, and Cam keeps for about a five-yard gain. And then Dyer dives forward for another 5 yards for first down. So it's first and 10 at the White 35-yard line. And on the very next play, Cam takes a snap. He rolls out and chucks it deep to Terrell Zachary. And Carlos Rogers is turned around the wrong way. He misses going for the ball. Zachary catches it and streaks into the end zone. 13 minutes and 47 seconds to go in the third quarter. White is in the end zone with a touchdown to Terrell Zachary. Your score is 20-12. And I'll go ahead and tack on. Byram comes out and the extra point is good. The White drive covered 75 yards in three plays and consumed about 1 minute and 13 seconds. Blue team 20, White team 13. Holy cow, what do you think about that?
Well, we knew the White team had explosive offense, had the ability to make a quick strike, and they did it. Carlos Rogers was kind of caught looking. He was looking for the run where they kind of faked that end-around to McCaleb, and he had his eyes on that because he didn't want to get burned again. And yep. Then Cam went right by him to Zachary, and that was it.
And, you know, the blue team has that tendency that we saw, the 2004 team has that tendency to give up a long pass here and there, and they sure did right there.
That's it.
You remember they gave up a long one to Tennessee, or long run to Tennessee, I believe, in the SEC championship game and they in the second half, and they gave up a long pass, I believe, to Virginia Tech in the Sugar Bowl. And yeah. This is in character for them, so... All right. Well, Blue takes the kickoff, and they're now on their once dominant lead has been cut to just 7 points. It's 20-13, and let me see where they okay, and they drive to their own 48-yard line. Another well put together drive called by Gorgeous Borges, and they're moving the ball very effectively, very methodically. But oh no, Nick Fairley. Nick Fairley comes up the middle and gets that big paw on Jason Campbell. The ball is on the ground. The ball is on the ground. Josh Bynes dives in and covers it. The White team has the ball, John. The White team has the ball. White team has recovered the ball at the blue 48-yard line.
and everything going the 2010 team's way at this point. Mm-hmm. They came out with the big strike to Zachary, and then they get the turnover, fairly knocking the ball loose from Jason Campbell. We saw Jason Campbell have some problems with this earlier in his career. Mm-hmm. No one will ever forget that Syracuse game where Dwight Freeney terrorized him.
It did.
And this was a similar play where Fairley just knifed in and knocked the ball right out of his hand.
And there's opportunistic Josh Bynes, always there, always ready, dives on it. And so Cam comes out. He's calling the plays. He's barking. He's going to keep it up the middle for three. All right. And now he's going to give to Dyer for a good plunge up the middle for four or five more. And now he's going to, oh, man, he rolls out and hits Lutzenkirchen 27 yards down the left sideline. Goes out of bounds. Goes out of bounds. And a couple more plays go by. They stall out. And here comes Wesley Byram for a 38-yard field goal. And it is up and it is good. The White Drive covered 48 yards in seven plays. Wesley Byram, 38-yard field goal. And your score now, with 8 minutes and 54 seconds to go in the third quarter, your score is blue team 20, white team 16. Man, now we are down to 4-point difference in these teams. A 4-point difference. And that will finish out the third quarter. I'm raising my fingers, John. We're in the fourth quarter. I don't know which one I'm cheering for. But one of them's going to pull it out here. You got to think, right? It's the fourth quarter, and it certainly doesn't look like it's going to be a tie or anything, because it's 20-16. That's a really 4-point lead. That's kind of hard to do. So we'll see what happens. So now the blue team has the ball, and they are grinding it down inside of 14 minutes, inside of 13, inside of 12, and they're down to the 9-yard line of the white team. And they've run up the middle a couple of times with Cadillac, and it hasn't done them any good because Fairley is all fired up. That big 2010 defensive line that stuffed Oregon and held LSU in check and was able to shut Alabama down after the first quarter or so, they are fired up now. They are hitting on all cylinders. Campbell on third down retreats, and he looks to his right, and oh no, Ronnie Brown is out there in the flat, wide open. The ball goes to Brown, and Brown's going to dive into the end zone in the right corner by the pylon. He's in! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Ronnie Brown from Jason Campbell. The Blue Drive covered 78 yards in 13 plays and consumed nearly 4 minutes. Ronnie Brown, 9-yard pass from Jason Campbell. And then Vaughn's extra point, of course, is good. Need I even say it? With 11 minutes and 19 seconds to go in the game, your score, blue team 27, white team 16. Whoo, we got an 11-point margin now. It's looking like the blue team has found their footing again, doesn't it?
It does, and this is big. And the 2010 team did not give up a lot of fourth quarter points. They gave up a lot of points early in the game, but they generally buckled down. But this is a four team, really was an impressive drive, and Ronnie Brown showed why he was so special on that drive, making stuff happen.
He did. 78 yards in 13 plays, chewing up the – this is such a Tommy Tuberville drive, right? They chewed up like the last several minutes of the third quarter and the first almost 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. If Tuberville had his way, they'd have run every play in the fourth quarter.
That's it.
They'd do an he'd like to do an onside kick here, get the ball back, and just keep going. But in this giant, epic matchup, he dares not do that. So he's just got to kick it off. And White's going to get the ball. And let me see. I'm trying to catch up to what's going on the field here. I've got my binoculars out again. My spotter's trying to see.
They have a good return on this kickoff.
Yeah, oh, that's it. Yeah. They have a good return on the kickoff. They get to the it looks like they get to about the – I'm trying to do the math. 31 plus 30. So they get up to close to midfield. They run 9 plays covering 30 yards, but they stall out at the 31-yard line of the blue team, and they're going to bring out Byram. Now, they're down – 11 points with just 8:44 in the game, but they need all the points I guess they can get. So Byram is out to attempt a 48-yard field goal, and I've already told you we're not talking about missed field goals. That's boring. So Byram hits it and he nails it. It is good. The White Drive covered 30 yards in 9 plays and consumed about 2.5 minutes Wesley Byram, 48-yard field goal is good. Your score with 8 minutes and 44 seconds remaining in the game. Blue team, 2004 team, 27. White team, 2010 team, 19. So it's a 27-19. It's an 8-point margin now. You had Cam Newton had a 7-yard run. Dyer had a big 13-yard run for first down there. Cam always converts those third downs. Dyer was able to get off tackle and get a first down. That's what that white team does, John. They convert third downs all the time, right?
So they did. They moved it down the field. And you said you were going to talk about missed field goals. There's two great kickers in this game. Byram and Vaughn are really doing it, getting it done.
It's amazing, too, because, I mean, you could make the case that that our last two kickers, Carlson and didn't we have another one between Vaughn between didn't we have another kicker between Byram and Carlson, or am I forgetting? We just had so many great kickers. I mean, you and I have talked about this many times. Auburn just always has good kickers. We've been very, very fortunate with kickers. I said you have to go back to 1986 for the last time we were.
Cody Parkey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cody Parkey and Daniel Carlson might both be better than these two guys, and these two guys are great. Yeah. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Okay. I forget Parkey. So, okay. All right. So it's 27-19, blue team leading with 8:44 to go in the game, and the white team kicks off the blue team, and they get a couple of first downs. They stall out up around their own 45, and they have to punt. But they don't feel bad about it because they're leading by 8. And they punt the ball all the way down to the white team about the 5, where they've actually got Michaela back returning the punt, and he gets it up to the 29. So the white team takes over with about 8 minutes. No, we're down to about 6. About 6 minutes to go now. I haven't do a lot of math. I don't like math, but I haven't do a lot of math here. The white team takes over about 6 minutes to go on their own 29-yard line. So here it is, man. As Jim Fife would say, their backs to the wall, their feet to the fire. 6 minutes to go in the game, and they're trailing by 8. Cam comes out, and he gives to Dyer up the middle for a short gain. Cam rolls out. He hits Lutzenkirchen. He hits Zachary. They're driving. They're driving. We're inside of 2.5 minutes. The clock is inside of inside of 3 minutes and rolling. They get down. They get down. They're driving. They're driving. Cam a fourth down. A fourth down. Fourth and 2 on the 30. They're on the white. They're on the blue 30. Fourth down and 2 to go. What do you think's going to happen here, John? Fourth and 2. Who's going to get the ball?
Cam Newton keeper automatic.
Cam gets it and he pulls his way up the middle, knocks Josh Bynes back a couple of steps, and has the first down. Little more drive, little more, get down into the red zone. They're still outside of the red zone. Third and 8 to go. Cam drops back, and he's got Cody Burns. Cody Burns makes his presence known in this game. Burns, he's down. He's crossed it down to the 2-yard line. Cody Burns, the first down on 3rd and 8, a 17-yard catch. And it's first and goal at the 2-yard line. Ooh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. There's just over 2 minutes to go in the game. And White has the ball on Blue's 2-yard line. What's going to happen now? What do you think?
The 2004 defense is in a bad spot now.
They are.
Tough to stop the 2010 team in this area of the field.
Cam is in the shotgun. He comes forward. He's yelling. He's changing the play. Man in motion. McCaleb comes across the sweep. Newton takes the ball up the middle. He's in! Touchdown! Touchdown, White! Touchdown, Cam! From 2 yards away! It is 27-25 with 2 minutes and 13 seconds to go. The White drive covered 71 yards in 11 plays, consuming about 4 minutes and 10 seconds. So Cam had a fourth down conversion, and Cody Burns caught a 17-yard catch on 3rd and 8, and then Cam punched it in, and they're going for 2. They've got to go for 2. They've got to go for 2 here. They're bringing out Dyer. They're bringing out McCaleb. Newton's in there. It looks like, I don't know, he's giving the ball to Dyer. Dyer dives in the pile. He's in! 2-point conversion! It's 27-27 with 2:13 to go in the game, John. Oh my goodness, what do you think?
I did not see that coming.
Wow. 27-27, and the clock's going to run the rest of the way out. Blue can't get across midfield. They throw a couple of deep passes, and it's going to overtime. Oh my goodness. Did the 2010 team play an overtime game?
I don't think they did. They had a lot of close wins.
They had a lot of games that seemed like overtime.
Went down to the wire, but no
Clemson
games in overtime.
Clemson went to overtime. Yeah, that's right. The ending of Clemson wasn't really any different from the ending of several of the other games, is why I was, thinking.
But think back. I mean, this was 20-3 at one point. 2004 was in control, and 2010 came out and made stuff happen.
It's what they did. I think this is very in character for both teams, though, honestly, in my opinion, because, all right, so we're going to overtime, but first, I've got the stats here in front of me of where the stats stand at this point before overtime, because we have no idea what happens next. We have not put any thought into this at all. You will all be learning what happens next, just like we are. So, here are the final regulation, not including overtime, regulation stats for the blue team. Jason Campbell is now 20-29 for 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and I believe a fumble. That's not too bad, huh?
Mm-mm. He made stuff happen, but his usual kind of dependable self.
Yeah, 20-29 I think is pretty good against this defense. A national championship winning defense, so yeah, arguably. Let's see. Carnell Cadillac Williams, 23 carries for 108. That looks a little more like Cadillac right there now. He asserted himself in the second half. 23 carries, 108 yards on those long grinded out drives. Ronnie Brown has 18 carries for 97. So between the two of them, they're over 200 yards rushing. Campbell himself has 4 carries for 7 yards, but that includes like a couple of sacks. He has a fumble. But he's still in positive yardage. And then the receivers for the blue team. Devin Aromashadu has 5 catches for 104 yards, including that 56-yarder. Courtney Taylor has 6 for 83. Ben Obamanu has 3 catches for 45. And Ronnie Brown, 2 catches for 15, including that touchdown. And then Anthony Mix has 1 catch for 9 yards. For the white team, 2010, Cameron Newton has 13. His passing is 13 for 21 for 205 yards. He kind of rallied a bit after the first half. He had a much better second half. 1 touchdown to go with that early interception, 13 for 21. He also has the most carries, 23 carries for 98 yards, the most rushing yards for the white team. Ontario McCaleb has 8 carries for 82, so he's still been mostly held in check other than that 60-yard run. Michael Dyer has 12 carries for 62, so about a little over 5 yards a carry. He's done better in the second half. And then Mario Fannin is still on 2 carries for 5. He has not really seen the ball in the second half. For the receivers for the white team, Terrell Zachary, 4 catches for 97 yards. Darvin Adams, 5 catches for 62. Lutzen Kirchen, 3 catches for 42. There's a big couple of conversions in there. And, of course, Cody Burns had that one big 17-yard catch that set up the touchdown at the end of a regulation. So now we're going to overtime. This should be interesting. So we got to flip the coin here to see who gets the ball first. Let me find a coin. You have a coin handy?
I was literally looking for a coin on my desk.
I got one right here. Sorry, here we go. So the heads is the blue team, tails is the white team. Flipping the coin, blue team has won the toss, and so they're going to elect play defense, aren't they?
Yes.
All right, so the blue defense goes out there, and here comes Cam. Man, this is exciting stuff. All right, so Cam comes out, and all right, so we got several options here. Now, you and I are going to have to discuss this and lay out what we think is going to, how it's going to play out, right? That's the only fair way to do it. You got several options. They're going to score a touchdown, they're going to kick a field goal, or they're going to turn the ball over. What do you think is going to happen on the first possession? It's 27-27. I got a legal pad out here. I'm writing this down.
The white offense is hot.
They are.
They've kind of caught fire in the second half. But I think the blue defense is going to make some plays here at overtime, and I think they're going to the white team's going to have some chances, but the blue team's going to stop them and hold them to a field goal is what I'm kind of
thinking. All right, I'm with you. So It's 30-27 White. They, like you said a while ago, they were down, what, 20-3 or something?
Yes.
And they've come back now and lead 30-27. All right. So, all right, now here comes Jason and the blue team out on the field. Man, I don't, if I'm a White team fan here, I don't really love having Ronnie Brown and Cadillac when I've only got a field goal in my pocket and they're getting the second stint. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Is that 2010 defense going to be able to stop the blue team from scoring?
They gave up a lot of points, but they were clutch in big situations. They only gave up like 4 points in the a game in the fourth quarter in those big games. But 2010 defense in this spot, I think, is in a bad matchup. I think so much focus on Carnell and Ronnie Brand leave them vulnerable.
I feel like first down, Ronnie goes off right tackle, gets about 3 or 4 yards. Second down, Jason gets chased around a circle and gets tackled for about a 2 yard loss. Third down, everybody's looking at Cadillac and Ronnie, and I feel like Courtney Taylor slips into the end zone wide open. That's it. All right. So, touchdown Auburn, blue team. Courtney Taylor with the overtime grab and your final score. Your final score, blue 33, white 30. An incredible comeback by Cam Newton, and the white team falls just inches short as on third down they give up the Courtney Taylor touchdown. 33-30. How did you see this game, John? Did it live up to your expectations? And what about that final score? Was that fair?
It did. It was a fair score. It was an exciting game. It was a matchup of two great teams. I think one team had more balance, but the other team clearly had kind of the star power, but also kind of that never say die attitude and the quick strike ability that we saw coming on in the second half.
33-30. I feel like that really reflected. I mean, I'm sure that our listeners will hear this, and I'm sure that some will think that one thing wasn't realistic enough, or this would have never happened, or what about that, or whatever. And that's just natural, right? I mean, everybody that's listening right now could sit down and do their own version of this and get something completely different, and that's cool. But I think that what we were trying to do here was incorporate how both teams not only could do, but tended to do against the best opposition they faced all of both of their seasons. And I think this kind of reflected how both teams tended to play.
I think it's fair. I mean, again, I would say the four team didn't give up 30 points to anybody, but this is Cam Newton. They did in the SEC championship game, they beat Tennessee 38-28.
And Tennessee didn't have Cam Newton, did they?
No, they did not.
So I think it's pretty. Plus, it went to overtime to get to 32. So
that's right. There you go.
Man, all right. Well, that was quite a game. I think that was very exciting. I'm sure I didn't do the play-by-play justice, but that was my first attempt at doing play-by-play. So
Van, that was you had some real excitement, enthusiasm in your voice. We can hear it.
Well, it was exciting. I mean, I was trying to imagine it in my head and then describe what I was kind of seeing here based on the numbers. Because what we did was we had basically a game summary with the scoring drives and the turnovers. And John and I were talking about this when we were getting ready to do this show the last couple of days, that I didn't go through and John went through and made some suggestions and changes too. But when I kind of first did the first draft of it, I didn't really put like every single moment. I just put the key moments. But it's kind of hard, you know, when you're describing the key moments, you kind of have to fill in how it came to that. And so I was kind of like, how did they get the ball at the 37-yard, you know? So a lot of this, you know, you kind of have to fill in as you go. So, but anyway, I thought that was a lot of fun. I'm curious to hear what our listeners think. 33-30 blue, was that a, you know, John says he thought it was fair. I thought it was fair. Does that seem to you like a fair representation of how this game would have gone? And it's interesting, John, because I mentioned it on Twitter. I didn't even solicit opinions. I just mentioned that we were going to do this a couple of days ago. And I got a bunch of tweets back to me about it. And seriously, about one third of them said, oh, the 2010 team wins in a walk. And about a third of them says the 2004 team wins in a walk. And about a third of them said, man, I have no idea. So I thought that was interesting too, right? That a third of the people were like absolutely convinced that one of them would win, and a third was convinced that the other one would win, and then a third really didn't know. I mean, that's about as fair and even as you can get, huh?
I think it's pretty fair.
Yeah. All right. Well, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.